Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fans, and here comes the money! I'm Andy Ford, and with me as always is Liam Dunn.
I've got to be honest, I don't think I've marked out that hard in a very, very, very long time. But...
Never been so happy.
Okay, we will go more in depth about the Shane O'Mac returning. But of course, welcome to another episode of the Supla. And what do we do every start of the episode, Andy?
We read your comments.
Nope. We'll do that in a minute.
Okay.
We have something else that we do.
The bit that I'm trying to avoid, because I can do these riddles.
You can't. They're riddles. So, for anyone who is new to the show, hello and welcome. Since the beginning of 2016, I've decided to try and test just how smart Mr. I Have a Degree over here really is.
Right.
So far, he has failed pretty much all of my riddles. He has not been able to get one correct in under a minute. So, I'm going to keep testing him until we find one that he can finally crack.
Okay, so wait. What you're watching right now is basically the evolution of
Andy's
my brain. I don't know how to put it.
But the thing is, because you weren't here on the last episode, I had to do it to Carmine. And because he's smarter than you,
Yes, I saw the video. He got it done. Really quick.
He got it done in a minute. Yeah. And it was a lot more complicated than any of the ones that I'd given you. But nevertheless, I realise I've got Andy back on the show. I have to tone it down again. I can't ask a complicated one like I asked Carmine, who got it in under a minute, just reminding Andy. So I'm toning it down. Andy, I've got it on my phone here. Andy, are you ready for your next riddle?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go. Okay. A clerk at a butcher shop stands 5 feet, 10 inches tall and wears size 13 sneakers. What does he weigh?
Can you repeat it?
Okay, hang on, my phone just died.
Fantastic! Great! So you can't repeat it, I'm bugging here, don't I?
A clerk at a butcher's shop stands 5 feet, 10 inches tall and wears size 13 sneakers. What does he weigh?
You don't know, because...
No. You do know.
Repeat one more time.
A clerk at a butcher shop stands 5 feet, 10 inches tall and wears size 13 sneakers. What does he weigh?
Meat.
Fucking hell, he's dead! Oh my god!
There we go, I did it. Yay! I'm not proud of myself at all.
Oh my god.
I was like, what does he weigh? Oh, meat, of course. What else would he fucking weigh?
Oh my god.
I did it!
I can't actually believe he did it.
Yeah! Sam, edit streamers, fireworks, sunglasses on my face.
I'm genuinely shocked. It's as if the streaks ended. I'm that in shock. Remember when Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker? That's how shocked I am right now. This man has just beaten a riddle in under a minute.
You need the guy who pulled that face. It was like, oh my god, what the fuck kind of face. Like, you just take that like, right on the screen right now.
Oh my god.
I did it.
Yes, okay, go on. I don't feel I have the will to continue the show now.
My fun is
over. You've destroyed my fun. I have no reason to do the show anymore.
Okay, do you have another one?
I don't on me. I'm going to have to wait till next week.
Okay. So far, that was the one in...
Two and one. Anyway, so before we move on to Shane returning to the WWE after a long absence, you might remember that last week we talked about Wade Barrett leaving the WWE, and we asked you guys to leave some comments, tell us what you thought, and also just generally interact and talk to us. We've picked out a couple of the comments. The first one is from Andy's favourite fan, all-time favourite fan, of course, Heartbreak Kid 101. I don't really care for Wade. Oops. I mean, I used to, but he's taking up he's taking up space on my TV.
Wade is talented.
Andy's so desperate to not get into an argument with this girl.
No, you know what? I've learnt my lesson. Just shut up. Just don't say anything.
You do realise that you have been completely owned by a 14-year-old girl.
That's not true at all.
Now, if you were 14 yourself, I think you'd probably be okay with that. But the fact that you're now 24, I think, is a little worrying. It is a little worrying, don't you think?
No, because there was no feud in the first place.
Bullet Club versus The Shield says, who do you think that WWE will fire within the year? This is an interesting one.
Shane McMahon.
genuinely don't know. It's always very difficult to guess. I mean, who would have thought that CM Punk was going to quit the WWE in January of 2014? No one really saw that coming. You can't really tell. It's especially at this time. I don't know. I think Heath Slater, as much of as he's a jobber, I think he's pretty much saved. They kind of like him. But then again, I don't know. No one's really safe.
I mean, if you get suspended for hugging Vince, then...
Yeah, good point.
Who knows?
Well, apparently Titus was originally going to be fired. That's what he wanted. And then someone was like, Vince, it's Black History Month. Probably not a good PR move. So, they didn't fire him in the end. What else have we got? Let's have a look. We have Magunta. I call him Magunta. A little off topic. Do you think a brony gimmick would be controversial? I thought that's what the New Day was.
What's brony?
Male adult fans of My Little Pony.
How's that controversial? I don't get it. Like, I thought it'd be something a bit more sinister than just fucking unicorns!
But that's what I mean. That's why I think it's just
rainbows.
The New Day. It's just generally the New Day. They kind of are a brony gimmick.
Okay. It's over. Who gives a shit? Okay. I don't see what's so controversial about being a brony.
I don't think it's controversial. I just think it's people look down on it because it's grown men liking stuff that's made for little girls, which can come across as slightly paedophilic. Now, I'm not judging.
It sounds like you're judging.
I'm just saying what it can look like. Look, if you want to watch unicorns and rainbows, that's up to you. Just keep your hands to yourself. That's all I'm saying, peeps. It's people who cosplay as bronies as well. That's when it starts getting weird.
Anyway, so Shane McMahon.
Shane McMahon returns. Nice segue.
Typical Andy fashion. So, yeah, Shane McMahon returned on Raw in the opening segment, interrupting Stephanie, winning the Vincent J. McMahon Achievement Award thingy bob, whatever it was.
Before we get into that, we all knew this was going to be some sort of angle, right?
Oh, yeah,
because the thing is I saw Vince Russo, everyone's favourite writer.
Can we not talk about that gimp?
We have to talk about that gimp.
Why? His opinion is irrelevant!
He does a show. He does his own podcast, like everybody. Everyone has their own podcast now.
Oh, God, I don't care.
So, naturally, Vince Russo did. And he's like, I like coffee because I'm from New York. I'm from New Jersey. That's the worst accent impression in the world ever. Nevertheless...
How bad is mine?
Nevertheless, Russo said that he was convinced that this was going to be a real award because Vince McMahon respected his father too much for this to be used as an angle. And... whilst I see where he's coming from, the fact that it was given away on a February edition of Raw and not saved for a Hall of Fame kind of gives away that it was an angle. that this wasn't going to be a real award, that it was going to set something up. Don't forget, it kind of just happened out of the blue. There was no mention of this. There was no hype package of who Vincent J. McMahon was and why he was so important. There was nothing. It was just one episode of Raw. Michael Cole was like, oh, we're going to give this award away next week. What the fuck? What? Seriously?
Yeah, can I just rant about, like, Vince Russo?
And it wasn't, sorry, it wasn't even at Fastlane. It was on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, who gives a shit? Like, one, everyone knew this was just bullshit. This wasn't an actual award. It's just an angle. Two, okay.
It shows, just, it kind of just shows Vince Russo sinking, really. Like, how he couldn't see this was an angle.
Yeah, I mean, how clueless do you need to be? I mean, like, here's the thing as well. Like, people like Vince Russo and Jim Cornette and all these, I don't give a fuck about your opinion. You're irrelevant. Like that. To be fair,
they can say the same about us.
True, but like,
we are just fans. They've at least worked in the business.
But people don't. People think the stuff that they've done is absolute shit. So, I mean, like, what? I mean, not like the fans or, you know, journalists or whatever. Like, legit people in the industry do not like Vince Russo and do not like Jim Cornette. So, what the, Jim Cornette is like, Lucha Underground isn't wrestling, even though that's one of the most popular wrestling shows right now. Just shows, and Russo thinking this is a legit thing just shows how clueless these two people really are and just stuck in their ways and need to just go away. Stop putting Vince Russo in headlines. Vince Russo says this. Jim Cornette says this. I don't give a fuck what they say. By doing that, you're giving them some kind of, I don't know, meaning or, like, being relevant in 2016. They're not. End of. Stop it.
Well, there's the other thing as well that is kind of similar in that JBL does a show called Legends with JBL. I realise I said JBL a lot and kind of made the three
legends. Sorry. Oh, God, it nearly happened again. You know, I work in retail at the moment.
Oh, God,
you know,
when
it comes to saying 9.99, I nearly yelled out Michael. I nearly said Michael.
That's 9.99. Michael! Sorry.
Yeah, so close.
The poor old lady just buying a pack of tampons is like, what? But nevertheless, JBL on his... What? Sorry, what are you laughing at?
Just the thought of that happening.
All right.
Continue.
Now, JBL has a show, as we've said, and it's on the WWE Network, and he loves... I've noticed in the show, he loves to talk about Vince Russo. His favourite topic is to basically rip Vince Russo a new one. And everyone that he has on his show, whether it's Eric Bischoff, whether it's Ron Simmons, whether it's Road Dogg, everyone likes to talk about how Vince Russo was inept at his job and just wasn't genuinely a good writer and kind of went... And even in WWF, he wasn't a good writer, but they said that they had Vince McMahon to control him and turn his ideas into gold. WCW was a proof that he couldn't do it. But the thing is, they ripped Vince Russo, but JBL has said, right, I will allow Vince Russo on my show. I will have him as a guest. And Vince Russo has never took him up on the offer. He's never said, yep, okay, just get into contact. He's never gone on Twitter to tweet at him. He's never gone on his own podcast to say to him, because you'd think something like that would make headlines at least. The fact that he hasn't try to approach JBL and say, can I get my side of the story out, kind of proves to me that he doesn't really have any defense. The guy he tries to defend what he did in WCW. I don't really know how you can defend putting the belt on David Arquette. I can't.
I don't know how you can, I can't understand how you can defend Julie Bagwell on a pole. No, it was Julie Bagwell on a fucking forklift.
We watched. Me and Andy, again, were in Bristol. We were visiting my girlfriend at the time, and she wasn't there. She had to go home, and me and Andy were kind of stranded in Bristol for about 24 hours. But we had the internet, and we watched the network. And Andy showed me that three steel cage Hell in a Cell wannabe match.
The triple cage match. The ready most, to rumble triple cage match.
It was the most points. It was an idea that Vince Russo doesn't understand how to make a match. He just thinks that you've got to make it. People have got to climb shit and you've got to have weapons. Doesn't realize that you can have a storytelling match in just a single normal match. So it was just, and then there was just people interfering for no reason. There was a heel turn by David Arquette. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know how we got onto Vince Russo, though. Oh, yes, the Vincent J. McMahon award. But I don't know if there was anything else you wanted to add about Vince Russo, Andy, whilst we're on the topic.
Isn't it? He's just an idiot, and I don't understand why people think he's relevant.
So, yes, the Vincent J. McMahon Award was given out, and Vince was like, I'm going to give it to the most deserving person. And when he was saying all that stuff, I was like, okay, it's either going to be Stephanie or Triple H. Stephanie. Well, I one of them I knew it was going to be. It had to be. It wasn't going to go, I'm going to give it to Jerry Lawler. Like, you knew it wasn't going to be that. So, of course, he was going to give it to Stephanie, and you knew it confirmed as soon as Stephanie was given the award, it confirmed that this was all an angle. I mean, we all knew it, but it just confirmed it. I hope Vince Russo kind of just was like, well, I was fucking stupid to believe it was real. anyway, so Stephanie comes out and she's given the award. She's like, oh, yay, thank you for a fictitious award that doesn't really mean anything on an episode of Raw that no one will remember.
Well, no, they will remember this one.
So that was pretty much it. And then...
here comes the money! Here comes the money! Money, 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 money! And it's weird seeing, like, Shane being, what, 40? What was he, like, 40?
A grey, grey Shane.
Like, dancing around. Woohoo! Shaving man! Woohoo!
He was a grey Shane. He was. It was like, you know, Gandalf the Grey turns into Gandalf the
White. Shane O'White.
It was kind of that. It
you shall not give this bullshit award!
That was
but, okay,
what it was.
Although, it was awesome seeing him. As much as we take the piss, him being Gandalf the White. it was great. Here comes the Gandalf. Here comes the Gandalf. You shall not the pass. It was pretty. I don't know what that was. It was great. It was great seeing him. And he's actually a breath of fresh fucking air.
He's genuinely the good McMahon, right? I've always thought he was the best on the mic. He's the best in the ring. He's genuinely the most entertaining McMahon. And we'll get into him leaving a few years ago, why he left, why he's come back. We'll get into that in a minute. But let's just talk about what's actually happening in terms of the show. So he comes out and he's like, Steph, you're kind of just killing the company. And they did stuff that I didn't think they'd bring up. They brought up the ratings dropping, which is risky business for anyone to ever bring up ever. They brought up the stock going down, which is, again, even more balls to the wall. I was like, okay, they're really getting serious. Like, they're really bringing in the real life stuff that's actually happening behind the scenes. Okay. And that's why I found it interesting. I don't give a shit about Stephanie McMahon being a teenager and being kidnapped by The Undertaker, to be honest. I don't care about that. This is a genuine...
Which was one of Vince Russo's great ideas.
Or Suits. This is like the real genuine shit.
Yeah.
So he comes out and he's like, you're killing it. But I left and I did my own stuff. But what you don't know is that I spoke to Dad, Vince McMahon, and he told me that I was still in line to get the company. I only let you get as high as you did because I allowed it. Now I'm coming back to reclaim my prize, to reclaim my company, basically become the prodigal son, literally, and take the company back. And then Vince was like, now I'm paraphrasing it because this was an entire like 10-minute segment. And then Vince was like, okay, what do you want? And he went, well, I want control of Raw for at least a year, right? And Vince was like, okay, I'll cut you a deal. Because I like Stephanie. Again, I'm paraphrasing. You'll have to watch the actual show to get all of this. I like Stephanie. So what I'll do is you've got to win a match, right? You've just got to win one match. I will name the time. I will name the place. I will name the opponent. I will name the stipulation. And I
thought, by the way, he did straight away.
That's the thing. I thought he would be like, he'll say it like next week or something.
Or the end of the night or something.
Yeah. Like, but no, he literally said it right there and then. And he was literally like, so I will name the time, the place, the opponent, and the match type. I will name them now. Okay, what was the point? Why didn't you just say it?
All right, then, why would you say that? If you knew you were going, right, you're going to have a match, not I will name the match.
In two seconds. No, it's basically us going, ladies and gentlemen, we will talk about Shane McMahon returning to the WWE. So Shane McMahon returned to the WWE. What was the point? Just say it. Anyway, so Vince is like, okay, I will name, so it will be at WrestleMania. Okay, we kind of gathered that with Shane returning at this time. It will be against The Undertaker. Oh, things got interesting now. I know the streak is broken, but you've got to remember only one person has beaten him since the streak broke, right? Which was when the streak... Yeah, you get what I mean. Only one person still beating him. He's still got 22 wins under his belt. Yes. So, okay, that's made it interesting. It's going to be in the Hell in a Cell. Now, I've got to be honest. I'm in a bit of two minds here. Can I explain why?
Explain why. I was giving you the floor.
I will explain why.
I will give you the floor to explain what you want to say. The floor now to explain what you want to say.
Okay. Now, Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker alone is a genuinely interesting match. It's more interesting than Bray Wyatt. It's more interesting than him against going up against Braun Strowman, which was the original idea that they had for a while, and then fans found out, and they're like, no, that's dumb, go away. That alone is interesting. I feel Hell in a Cell is a little bit of an overkill. Personally. I like it, but again, I don't like it. It's difficult to get.
It's weird because I know The Undertaker's been acting really heelish over the past, like, year. Am I supposed to cheer Shane here, or am I supposed to cheer Undertaker? Here's the thing as well, like, Hell in a Cell, they're trying to sell that entire Cowboy Stadium or AT&T Stadium or whatever the fuck it's called now, 100,000 people, right? And you're sticking a giant freaking cage right in the middle of it. Like, I'm just thinking, no one's going to see what the fuck's going on, unless... And I highly doubt this will ever happen, that they're at the top of the cage and they start fighting at the top. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, there's the other thing as well, because we were discussing this in the boardroom earlier today. We're filming and recording this on the Tuesday after Shane's returned. So we were discussing this. We were like, oh, yes, Shane, he's the best McMahon. He was fucking insane. Sam and Carmine had never really watched him in his heyday. I'd never really watched him in his heyday, but I went back and checked out some of his matches, guys. Yeah. That's what a journalist does. They were like, I don't really get Shane McMahon. And the thing is, Shane was very good. He was very good, and he was crazy. He was insane. The guy fell off, like, a 30-foot sign at SummerSlam. He got, I think it was speared or angle slammed through glass.
No. He got belly to right.
Oh, that was it. Belly to belly. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, the first time it happened, it fucked up. Like, yeah. He was supposed to go for a pane of glass, and it didn't smash. So
it was the King
of
the Ring, wasn't it?
He just, like, bounces off and just lands on his fucking head.
Yeah.
So it's just like, Jesus.
But they do it again, and he goes through it the second time.
And then the angle's just like, I'm not doing another belly to belly. Fuck this shit. Just throws him straight through.
Yeah. So, anyway, regardless... He is the insane one. But you've got to remember, when he was doing all that stuff, he must have been late 20s, early 30s. The guy's 45 now.
Unless he falls through, like, you know, like, in gymnast gyms, they have, like, a fucking foam pit. Unless he lands in that, I don't think we're going to see him jump off.
Let me just put it this way, right? And I know they're very different people. And they were from very different eras, and they were, in fact, they were very different professions in a way. But you remember a little guy, little fella, you might have heard of him. His name was Hulk Hogan. You might have heard of him.
Hulk who?
He won the WWE Championship 6 times.
You mean Steven Richards?
His 6th title reign happened in 2002. Guess how old he was? Just have a slight guess.
60?
He was 45.
Oh, Jesus.
So, remember how great Hulk Hogan was at that time, everyone? Remember? Yeah, that's why I'm a little bit in two minds. Because I don't... I'm not saying Shane can't wrestle, but you got to remember, he's 45. I don't know if we'll be seeing him jump off the cell like we're all anticipating he will.
Oh, he's not.
Now, like I said...
Have you seen how tall the cell is now as well, by
the
way?
And that's the other thing. Yes, again, that's the other thing. The Hell in a Cell now is like twice the size of the original Hell in a Cell.
It's the size of a freaking house. Like, who the fuck thought that a good idea?
It's a hell of a lot bigger than the Hell in a Cell that Mankind jumped off and went through. It's a lot sturdier than those ones as well. So, we've never seen anyone jump off it. I can't remember since 2000 with Rikishi. And that wasn't even a jump off. Undertaker knocked him off the Hell in a Cell into, what was it, like a 2x4 with hay?
It was a truck.
If
it was just a stick, I think Rikishi would be dead. Like,
no, a 2x4 car, you knobhead.
You mean a 4x4? A 2x4 is literally a plank of wood. I thought you were like, just like this flimsy tiny bit of wood. And it's just like, well, I'm sure he's okay. Like, what the fuck?
Just a plank. This'll break his fall.
He'll be completely safe forever.
Oh, cheers, guys. Thanks. Bye.
I believe I can fly. Like, it's just like, into a stick.
And the plank just has a face. It's just like, yeah, shit.
Not a table. It's just a stick with legs. Like, what the fuck, Liam?
Oh, okay,
that would make Mick Foley's fall look fucking brilliant. Like, Foley's a pussy. He goes through an entire table. Rikishi, he went through a stick. Like,
he landed on a fucking stick. That's badass. Andy's right. It was a truck filled with hay that Rikishi fell off. And that's really been about it. I think Triple H and Chris Jericho in a Hell in a Cell went to the top. But that was it. There, no one was thrown off. I think Ryback went to the top of a cell once. That was really about it. So, but then I question, why would they add a Hell in a Cell stipulation if Shane wasn't confident that he could do something with it? Because people would anticipate him to do something with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, Hell in a Cells now are not so much that. I think Hell in a Cells are just like, oh, they're locked in a cage. Like, it's not to do with... I think the last one I remember that had, like, something different about it was the one, ironically, with Undertaker in, with Edge at SummerSlam. Don't remember the year. And they used, like, weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that was also where Edge speared him through the actual cell wall itself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... I just don't... I mean, I can see some kind of shenanigans. I mean, how long have we got till Mania? What, like...
47 days.
Oh, dear God, that's a long time. So, anything can happen at this point. I mean, Shane might have an enforcer or something. I don't know. Like, I can imagine some kind of shenanigans are going to happen between now and then, and who knows what might happen.
But it's genuinely interesting because I don't know. I don't think Shane... I don't know. This is the first time in a while where I'm genuinely stumped as to what could happen. I don't think Shane will win the match. But then again, they're going into a lot... It feels more... With Taker's streak being broken, it feels like there's more riding on this for Shane than there is Taker now. And that was one of our criticisms of the Bray Wyatt Undertaker match from last year's WrestleMania, because it didn't feel like there was anything on the line. The whole thing about Undertaker was that any time he had gone to WrestleMania, his streak was on the line, and that was his legacy. They made a massive deal about that since about 2005, when Randy Orton was the first one to kind of be like, I want to break it. Since before that, they acknowledged it, but it was never the riding thing for Undertaker. So for about 5 years, nine years, it was the major selling point of The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And then right. It got broken. And then he faced Bray Wyatt. And there was nothing on the line. People thought it would be a dream match, and it really wasn't. there was really no substance to it, in my personal opinion.
I mean, now, and the issue with Bray Wyatt was that it just was shit because The Undertaker only appeared like once. Like, he just kept saying, "They've been lied to you, man! And I'm the god of thunder and fire and new face of fear and shit." It was crap, basically. It was awful.
Yeah, because they don't... The thing is, it was crap because they don't know what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. They thought it would be a dream match, and it wasn't.
It should have been.
It's no reflection on the guy who plays Bray Wyatt. It's no reflection on him. You can only do so much. If a script's shit, the actor can only take it so far. That's a fact.
And if the other person that you're supposed to be, you know, against doesn't turn up until Mania...
Yeah.
What are you really supposed to do?
Yeah. So, with that in mind, this is the first time where the stakes are kind of reversed. So, Taker's streak is broken, and we know that his streak is broken.
Right.
But now, it's not going to be about Taker during his match at WrestleMania. It's about Shane. And that, I think, adds something different, something that we haven't seen in over 10 years. That is why I'm uncertain, because I don't think Shane will win, but then he's the underdog. He's the main character. He's the hero of the story.
And if there's anyone to take down the authority, it actually makes sense for Shane to do it, because he's like, no, Triple H and Stephanie, you don't run this shit. I do, because I'm the boss's son. It's not fucking difficult. I am the prodigal son. I went off to China and did a bunch of shit, and I'm back now. So, as far as I'm concerned, well, and you give me it. Fuck off. And Steph, no offense, but you are a complete clown. So, no, I'm now the one who is in line. Goodbye. And, like, that makes sense. And, like, here's the thing. Like, Dave Meltzer said, like, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yep.
About this thing. Well, the original storyline was actually supposed to happen 2 years ago with Triple H against Vince's guy. So either that would be like Austin or Rock, the power of WWE. But then Vince like completely nixed the idea.
Hang on, because... so this would have been 30, WrestleMania 30?
Yes, because Vince just didn't want to be on TV. He was like, no, I can't be asked for this. And the deal between Shane and Vince was actually...
Oh, wait, no, I heard this because it was supposed to be The Rock. The Rock was meant to be in it. That was the original... The Rock was meant to be somewhere in this storyline. The Rock was going to be involved, because I think is why they led up that story of, oh, The Rock versus Triple H one more time at WrestleMania, and then nothing ever came of it.
Good, because we got Daniel Bryan instead, so that was always better. The deal between Vince and Shane was broken a few weeks ago, but Shane does not have a management position with the company. But then again, it's Shane McMahon; it's the boss's son, so God knows that could probably change. Shane legitimately felt that he would be a fourth generation McMahon promoter to run the WWE, but Stephanie had surpassed him due to her product knowledge, which I say that in inverted commas because, yeah. Apparently everyone knew this but him, and Vince ended up making it very clear that Triple H and Steph would run the company over him, and that is why he quit, which makes the whole promo with Vince and Stephanie being... even more kind of a pew-pew-pew-pew-pew bit of a shoot. There's been significant amount of life-imitating art, according to Meltzer, which kind of goes to show, like, all the stuff that he's saying about ratings and stuff. This is probably actually a thing that he believes. And that there's actually a belief that there will be a real-life power struggle if Shane is finally back in the picture, because obviously it's the boss's son!
Let's just quickly talk about this. So, of course, like Andy said, Shane did leave the WWE in about 2009, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
My exact details are sketchy. Hey, this was like 6 years ago, all right? I'm not going to remember every detail. I'm saying it for anyone who's listening, who's like, he quit on February 28th of 2011, thank you. Like, it happened a couple of years ago, I don't remember. I mean, I'd never really watched him in his heyday, but I went back and checked out some of his matches. Guys, that's what a journalist does. Anyway, so Shane left the WWE, and I didn't know what you just said was the reason. I thought he just...
I didn't know that until today.
Yeah, I just thought... that he kind of just wanted to try other things. He had done his thing with wrestling, and he wanted to try something else. He wanted to make his own business. I think I said on last week's broadcast that I'm doing something similar. There just gets a point in your life where you kind of just want to try and do something else for once. So I thought he went to China to start up a new business, which he did. He wanted to make it on his own because, don't forget, he's always been under Daddy's shadow. So I thought he left to try and make his own name and his own company. Not realizing if what Meltzer said is true, I didn't realize that was a thing. But the question I have is, why did they bring him back?
Well, apparently, Meltzer also notes that Shane lives in New York, so it's actually possible for him to appear on TV weekly because he can run his Chinese company from New York. Meltzer and Alvarez also discussed, Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer discussed the possibility of a brand extension because obviously he's just going for Raw, which is a bit weird. They also note that they've always sucked and never lived up to their potential. Typical Meltzer and Alvarez. Meltzer cryptically notes that there's a reason why Triple H was not involved in this first segment, and this is a direct quote, "There's a lot going on." So, oh dear.
Great, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave. I mean, for elaborating. I also have a quote. There are things happening. Cheers, Dave.
No, like, I have a quote.
All right.
Shit's going down.
Yeah, just give me a Dave. I mean, come on, Dave. Fuck. This guy's the godfather of, like, wrestling journalism, and all he can tell us is there's a lot going on. No shit, Dave. Even I know that. And I'm some stupid nod on a webcam talking about this.
We're just two friends talking about this topic.
Yeah, like, what? I don't need to write out a fucking newsletter to fucking tell you that. Oh, page one of the Wrestling News fucking Observer. Oh, there's a lot going on. Fucking hell, Dave.
That's what, Dave. Nice one, mate.
You're the inspiration why we do this, but you can't even give us more than there's a lot going on.
No, I see what you mean, but I mean, like, why has he come back? Why has Shane decided to come back? And I have a couple of theories. There's a couple of theories in that this is legitimate. He wants to get back in. He wants to take over. He feels like it's his rightful position. But then a part of me is like, well, if that's the case, would they really be playing it out on television? I'm not entirely sure if they would, because that's when real life starts happening in front of the camera, I don't know, things might not go the way that they seem. Don't forget, there could always be the possibility, if this is true, that Shane won't job at all to The Undertaker. Like, just no sells everything, just doesn't care. Live on pay-per-view, so you just completely ruin the match. There's always that chance. You've got to remember this. For me, I've heard one of the reasons is because this year, they wanted to finally do Undertaker versus John Cena. Finally!
Yeah.
Right? A match that they have wanted, like they've been desperate to do for years. And then John's injured. And this is going to be the first WrestleMania since WrestleMania 21. No, WrestleMania 20, even further. The first WrestleMania since WrestleMania 20 that he will not be a part of. That's a lot of WrestleManias, guys, by the way. This is the first one that he will not be on the card for. That's quite significant.
So you need someone who hasn't been there for years. And I mean, like, Shane McMahon level. There's probably no one else you could phone up and be like, I need a favour.
It's not necessarily that. I think that's probably part of it. I will admit, I think that's part of it. But the problem is that aside from Cena, they haven't really got anyone to go up against The Undertaker. You've got, I mean, Randy Orton's out, but he's already faced The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He has nothing to prove. Who else is there? Exactly, that silence.
Yeah, that silence
says everything.
Volumes. Like,
you've had Triple H twice. You can't have him a third time, and he's against Roman. So what? Like,
God, I hate that match.
So what are you going to do? So this is one way to draw people into it, because it feels like something is really happening. Because it's based on some form of reality. The Undertaker's taking a different position where it's not his streak that's on the line. He's playing the villain, by the sounds of it. So for that, it's different, and that's what I prefer. But I think that could be one of the reasons why. I think we'll never really know because we're not backstage. We're not a member of the McMahon family. I think there's some theory. There's some truth to both theories. I think Vince wanted Shane back because he didn't really know how else to book The Undertaker. And I think Shane also wanted to come back because I think he feels that it is his company to run. I think Vince is slowly calming down now, like officially. He's slowly leaving. And I think Shane does genuinely want a piece of that pie back. Because regardless of the ratings and the stock, the company is doing very well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, Shane, Triple H and Stephanie running the company wouldn't be so bad. Because at least you've got Shane. Because, I mean, according to Meltzer as well, Meltzer notes that the fans wouldn't be as receptive to Shane if they knew about his booking ideas. So he says that almost everybody, there are no personally like Shane over Stephanie. So, like, everyone backstage prefers fucking Shane over Stephanie. But the only kind of issue is when it came to ideas, when it came to wrestling, when it came to wrestling angles, it was like Stephanie and Paul are so far ahead of him, it's not even funny. So either Shane's just shit at booking, but most people like Shane. So,
well, I think that's slightly unfair. I mean, Shane's not done well for himself. I mean, I can understand why he left. Again, he wanted to go start his own business, or he genuinely felt screwed over by his own family. There's, you know, that might be some element of truth, but the fact of the matter is, the real way we have to look at this is the guy has been out of the company for a minimum of 5 years. A lot of the company has changed since that. Triple H is a part-timer. Undertaker wrestles only once a year. Brock Lesnar's returned. The Rock came back. There's been a lot. Bloody, I think Daniel Bryan had his entire career in that entire lifespan.
You've had CM Punk. You've had Daniel Bryan. You've had John Cena rising in the ranks since he's been gone. Right? And here's the thing as well.
Book for the first time. God,
shut up! So there's been wrestling fans who have come and gone. Who wrestling fans today may not know who Shane even is, right? That's how long he's been gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a fact. So I don't blame them for thinking that Shane's idea. Maybe he's just generally not very creative with the booking. But the guy does run his own business. He's got some business savviness, sense, whatever the word is. He's got it. So, I don't know. I mean, it's very difficult to judge. We're on the outside. We're just two guys from England talking on Skype. We don't know how the company's run. If they gave it to us, the company would be shutting up shop in a month.
I give it a week.
So, we don't know. All we know is what we've heard from Dave Meltzer saying that things are happening. So it's there for an open interpretation.
I can't believe we've based this whole episode on one guy saying something and it's just like, things are happening.
Things are happening.
Brilliant. How?
pretty much the gist of the news. But speaking of WrestleMania.
Yes.
We may as well talk about another topic, seeing as we've kind of dragged out the Shane O'Mac news as much as we can. Dean Ambrose taking on Brock Lesnar in a no-holds-barred match at WrestleMania, officially cancelling the Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt match that they had been building towards since just before Royal Rumble, kind of leaving that angle dead in the water, so it should. I'll talk about the Dean Ambrose-Brock Lesnar match in a minute, but this must show just how badly they've messed up the Wyatt family. When people are complaining about them being booked against major stars.
Because the thing is, Bray Wyatt, in that scenario, he would have just lost. And that would have been three in a row. I'm telling you, there's no way you could take that. I've been lying to you, man. Seriously, that gimp will never be taken seriously again.
Yeah.
Bray
yeah,
needs not... to face off against someone who he can beat.
Yes. Yes.
At WrestleMania. Do. Like, and take him seriously and book him as the next Undertaker, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Putting him in his first WrestleMania match against John Cena and losing. I see, it's John Cena, but he lost, right? And then you put him in his second WrestleMania match against The Undertaker. I get it, it's The Undertaker, but he lost, right? So he's not really got a great track record. So you're going to put him in a match against Brock Lesnar, a guy who has not been pinned since he's come back in 2012. Guess what's going to happen, guys? Just have a slight guess. Have a guess.
Oh,
he'll lose. He'll lose. He'll lose. It's a dumb move. Now, there have been people, including people who are part of this network, part of this show, who are big Wyatt family fans. And I'm not saying that the Wyatt family can't work. You look at them in NXT, right? I think there's a lot of potential for that gimmick. The crowd loves the fireflies of the cell phones in the air. They love it. But whoever's booking them on the main roster just doesn't know what to do with them. Just generally doesn't. And I wonder if it's... I wonder if there's just too much of the Wyatt family. I feel like maybe four members is getting a bit much because they can never be an underdog. They can never sort of... I mean, I know they're the heels, but there's only so many times where you can have four men beating up one person before it kind of gets a little boring.
My issue with it is that Bray Wyatt... Here's every Bray Wyatt feud that's ever happened, right? Anyone but you. They've been lying to you, man. I've got to stop you. Oh, I got beaten. That's it. He just talks nonsensical bollocks that means nothing. Like, no one pays attention to anything he says. Like, I know he's supposed to be scary and cryptic and woo-hoo, but it's bollocks. What he says is bollocks. People know it's bollocks, but it has no relevance or meaning to anything.
That's the problem. You've hit the nail on the head. He doesn't back up his words.
It's bollocks. It's bollocks. No. It's not even words. It's just bollocks. It's total shit. It doesn't mean anything. He needs to say something of fucking substance. Just something. I know the idea of his gimmick is he's just this nonsensical, rambling, fucking redneck hillbilly that lives in a fucking shed. But this, it's just... He needs to say something. Something of relevance, for Christ.
It's not that.
Something with meaning.
No. It's not even what he says. It's what he does. And he doesn't do a lot. What does he do? He kidnaps Kane. He kidnaps Daniel Bryan. He says stuff on the microphone and then he loses matches. Nothing really happens and people kind of forget about it. Let me compare it to a very famous villain, a very beloved villain. It's a bit out there, but try and stick with me when I compare it to this. It's kind of like, take the Joker from Batman, right? The Joker's a beloved character. And if you look over the years, the Joker has done some incredibly heinous things that make him interesting, right? The guy has killed... Batman's sidekick. He has torn off his own face. He is a psychopath. But what it is that it's his character and what he does. He does always lose to Batman. So you can have him always losing. But he messes with the main character, with the hero, to a point where he almost breaks, to the point where he's emotionally destroyed, right? Bray Wyatt doesn't do any of that. I don't know. Now, I know it's very difficult because that's a comic book and this is wrestling, and I know it's difficult to compare the two, but I feel the principles are the same. Bray Wyatt talks and talks and talks, doesn't do anything. At least when the Joker talks, he does something. Heck, even if you're not familiar with the Joker, I'm sure a lot of people have played, let's say, Batman Arkham City, right? On the PS3 and the Xbox One.
Or see the Dark Knight.
Well, I'm going to go with the Arkham City here because that's the one that I'm running with. One of the major things that the Joker does in the first couple of minutes of the game is that he is dying. He's been poisoned because of events in the past game, because of story. And he has sent out vials of his own blood to Gotham Hospital. Now, that means that Joker is basically going to kill members of Gotham from his prison cell. But Batman can't do anything because he's locked in the prison cell as well. So the Joker, you know that things are happening. He's still causing havoc and there's nothing Batman can do about it. There's not really... I never get that with Bray Wyatt, ever. Like, I never, not like he's going to kill people, but do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there's no scheming, there's no...
There's no substance. He will say things and he will be cryptic and he'll be like, I will shit on the sky and piss on the moon and you will follow. And it's like, great, Bray, but you're going to lose at the next pay-per-view, so what's the point?
Yeah, so, I mean, he could be like, right. The moon is made of cheese. And my hands are like butter. Like, I don't know. You could be saying anything. I don't know.
Literally.
Pigs can fly. Like, he can literally say any... Like, I don't... It's shit.
The other thing that doesn't help either, again, going back to the Joker, is that then the Joker does stuff. The Joker actually physically does stuff, right?
Yeah.
When he... Like, again, when he's poisoning the members of the citizens of Gotham, he's poisoning them with his own blood, for example, right? Just for a story reference. Bray Wyatt just sends out Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Braun Strowman. And he just sits in a chair. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there. That doesn't make the character interesting. It made the character interesting for like a month. He's been on the main roster for 2 years. Can we get him to do something?
Yeah, like, I mean...
Like, and then they broke up the Wyatt family, but he's like, I'm going to let you go free. And then Luke Harper and Eric Rowan went free for about 2 or 3 months. And they're like, oh, we can't get over. We're going to bring back the Wyatt family. Come back, everyone. I need you. Sorry, I just realised I can't do anything.
And the best thing is, when he does kidnap people and stuff, they just come back next week. So yeah, what did he do?
Just normal.
What did he do?
Nothing.
What did he do? Just let them go? What an idiot. What a fucking moron. Like, I don't...
Nothing.
Dumb. So dumb. And, like, here's the thing. And I want to talk about this Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar thing. I almost think this should be inserted into the main event. Because Roman Reigns' face was so fucked up on Raw. And he got the shit kicked out of him. He got his head annihilated on the steel stairs with a pedigree. Every single fucking person in that crowd cheered. And guess where they're going to be for the next 3 fucking weeks? They're going to be in Chicago. They're going to be in Philadelphia. And another smarky place. Rome is fucked. Like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah. There's been an accidental double turn here.
Yeah, that's what they've done. And it's happened. Roman's face was fucking demolished. Like, but people were still cheering for the bad guy. Like, for God's sake, something needs changing. It can't go on like this. Like, this, it can't. This is worse than last year.
Okay, because... but I have a question for you in that case, right? So, they're cheering the good, they're cheering the bad guy and booing the good guy. Okay, I see that's a problem. And then you're saying, okay, let's throw Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose in there and make it a fatal 4-way no-holds-barred match. Genuinely, I think that's a good idea. I like the sound of that. We haven't had a fatal 4-way match since WrestleMania 2000, which was the year, not the actual number of WrestleManias. That's the only WrestleMania they've done that with. It was so stupid. Anyway,
well, no, it was the year everyone thought the world was going to end and shit, didn't it?
Yeah, but whatever. It didn't matter. It didn't end. So what was the point? Anyway, regardless, they haven't had a fatal 4-way since then. So I think that there's something there. But you know Roman's going to win the main event. So even if you put Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose in the fatal 4-way, right? Just because they're in there doesn't mean that they're suddenly going to start cheering Roman when he becomes the champion.
I'm not saying that. They just need a face. They need Dean Ambrose. They need Brock. I don't know. I mean, like, something to take the faceness away and people cheering away from Triple H. Because, God almighty,
What is it with this company? Desperate. They're so desperate. It's getting sad.
I feel kind of sorry
for them. I do. Because they're so desperate for Roman to be the new face of the company.
He won't ever be.
The fans don't want him to be. No offence to Roman. But you're not the one that we want.
Look, if I was booking this, I would do a fatal 4-way. Roman would lose at Mania again. And he'd just be like, right, fuck this. I'm done with this shit. I'm going to turn. I've had enough. Fuck it. And then just fucking annihilates Ambrose, who wins the belt. And then he's a heel. Because, you know, makes more sense. No one likes Roman anyway, so fuck it. Like, at this point, I find it deeply ironic that The Rock is related to this guy. And they tried to do the same thing with The Rock, to the point where they were chanting, "Die, Rocky, die." Like, and you're not going to do the same
There's something different about The Rock and Roman Reigns. In that
Roman Reigns is about as charismatic as this desk.
Roman Reigns is as charismatic as a puddle of mud, right? Genuinely, sorry, I realised I referenced the band there, but...
Yeah, you did, I was a bit confused.
That's a dated
reference, a bit like Shane McMahon.
Both the band and a physical puddle of mud, right? Yes. He can't talk. I remember, it was only a few weeks ago on SmackDown, it was a highlight reel, and Chris Jericho was like, "Oh, at Fastlane, you guys are brothers, but you're facing each other. What's going to happen?" And Dean Ambrose just butts straight in and goes, "I'm going to punch him in the face." And I thought, yeah, that's great. That's something that was funny, right? That sums up Dean Ambrose's character straight away. And then what does Roman do? Roman just goes, "Oh, but I'll punch him first." That's like something that a child would say.
No, that's someone who has no brain cells, who quite literally just can't think of anything, which is like, "Your mum." Like, he might as well just gone like that. He might as well just gone, "No, I'll put you in the first." Like,
all what? Roman has going for him is that he's a pretty boy, right? That's all it is. John Cena is not a pretty boy, but you built a company around him. He doesn't need to be... Look, the fans don't want Roman. Just get over it. Move on. Failed experiment. Try again.
It's going to be 100,000 people booing Roman. That is going to sound the worst thing. If Vince, I know he's getting old, and I know, you know, people lose their senses and shit. But you must be able to hear 100,000 people.
What if this isn't Vince? What if this isn't Vince?
Who is it then?
Triple H and Stephanie, because I think that with them trying to take over the company, this is the person that they want to represent the company.
Hunter, Paul, H, whatever the fuck you want to be called, you will be stood in the middle of that ring, surrounded by 100,000 people, and they're going to be booing Roman. If you can't get it in your thick fucking skull that no one wants this guy, then God help you, you fucking idiot. What more do you want me to say? Like, I'm tired of having this conversation. I'm swearing because I'm sick of this. It's getting on my nerves.
I feel like we're doing a repeat of what we were doing last year.
Edit something and just edit what we said and just put that here. Because quite frankly, that is exactly what's going on.
You may as well just rerun one of last year's shows.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you get it? We don't like this gimp. We don't like him. He's the least developed character out of all of the members of the Shield. He comes out through the crowd. He comes out with the gear. He comes out with the song. He's shit. You turned something good and force-fed it down my throat, and when we regurgitate it back out and wonder why we don't want to eat the damn sick, you're like, please, like this weird shit. Like, no, we don't like it. It's just, I can't. I remember at the start of the year, I was like, you know what? I don't mind if Roman wins. How have you made me gone from going, he's not that bad, to now going, I'm fucking sick of him already? It's February. How the fuck have you done that?
1 month. What? That's
one
impressive.
Freaking month, and I'm sick of him again. Oh, if he wasn't in the main, if this was just Triple H versus Roman in like just an ordinary match for the non-title, fine. I'd be like, all right, fine. But they've done it again. He didn't even win the Rumble. What you did at Fastlane was just delay the inevitable.
Inevitable.
You delayed that, apparently. You delayed that. This hurts my head so much I can't speak words properly. But you delayed what, like the usual, this Royal Rumble is shit. And you just put it at Fastlane instead. That's what you did. And the moment he fucking speared him and pinned Ambrose, everyone booed.
I watched a reaction video on YouTube of like a 7-year-old watching it, and even he was like, "Shit, Roman won. fuck this.
And not only that, you had Triple H holding the belt, and then you had Roman right next to him, and then you had, like, fucking... You had Michael Cole going, "By God!" No, that's JR. You had Michael Cole going, "By God!" No, that's JR again. You had Michael Cole going, "No, it's going to be Roman! Triple H! WrestleMania!" And literally, the crowd are dead. They're absolutely dead. They're just looking on and just like, going, "No way. This is a joke, right? Is this the thing?
In their defense, everyone knew Roman was going to win. What were you expecting, Andy?
I know what they were expecting. The one thing that they always fucking say that they claim that they do, which they never actually do. Listen to the fans. They claim they do it, but they never actually do it. That's the most frustrating thing about this company. It's like, hey, we take all the pride in the world that we listen to our fans. The biggest... people that can change things are the people themselves. No, we fucking don't. You don't give a shit about us. You don't care. You clearly have some fun, damn it. Was quite literally, I thought he was kidding when he was saying that, but he was fucking true. And it's a joke. They don't listen to the fans. They don't. And can you, like, what? I know Sam hates this analogy, going to a restaurant and they give you something else. That's literally what they're doing, though. And it's... I don't get it. I do not get it. And How by now? It's been 2 years. How do you not know by now that we don't want this fucking gimp?
No.
We don't want it.
But with that in mind, of course, we only have three matches confirmed for WrestleMania. Of course, the Supla, is... on the road to Suplamania, which is our yearly Supla get-together to talk about WrestleMania. It's a two-parter for those who are new to the channel. We have a pre-Suplamania and a post-Suplamania show. Well, it's WrestleMania, but we call it the Suplamania, where we talk what we expect from the show.
Do we call it that?
Yeah, we do.
Have we done that before?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
We have now. It's canon. Anyway, so we are on the lead-up to Suplamania, and we have three matches, two of which we're excited about. One,
they just stop.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will catch you next week. When
we need
to
plug things.
Oh yes, do it now. Plug it.
Quick. Okay, so we also you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on
Instagram.
Sam's
putting it in the chat. don't forget to, of course, go to super.com where we have, of course, more shows like this, the Brocast, more shows coming soon. We have articles and news. You can check us out on iTunes, Supla. Just type in the Supla, you'll find us on there. We're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all called the Supla. Don't forget to check out WrestlePundit.com where we get most of our news. And of course, we have a shop called Redbubble.com/TheSupla. We have t-shirts and mugs.
No, wait,
and
it's Redbubble.com/people/TheSupla.
Whatever, it's the same thing. Just go to Redbubble. You'll probably find us by typing us in. T-shirts, coasters, mugs, stickers, pillows, hoodies, everything you want. You can get with Andy's face on it. Which,
are we selling those?
We will eventually, because we want people to be terrified by Andy's face, so that's going to be a new product.
My face is, you know, beautiful.
So, with that in mind, we'll catch you all on the next edition of The Supla, on our way to Suplamania.
I have been Andy Kwan.
And I am still Liam Dunn.
Goodbye.